here, not to mention this other, whatchamacallit, right down here at my feet. Standing in the middle of the stage is a nice wayfaring stranger who got word by the grapevine of this gathering on the banks of the Suwannee River every first weekend in May. His name is Pete Childs, and Pete's going to play a tune for us. He will just do nothing at all on the 12-string guitar.
Well, I'm going to cheat a little bit here because that actual tune does not have very much playing in it on the 12-string guitar. So as per a sneaky arrangement earlier here, I'd like to play just a little bit here to give you an idea of what this guitar sounds like. King of the 12-string guitarist, his name was Leadbelly. He used to play a lot. Now, this particular song is for you kids. This song was written by a 4-year-old boy. Now, it really was. That's not a fib. And he wrote it, as a matter of fact, while he was in the bathtub. Now, I don't mean to say he put it down with pencil and paper, but he made it up. And I think he probably had a pretty hard day. His parents maybe treated him a little bit hard. And so this was his chance to get back at the world. And I think it's good for grown-ups to listen to this, too, because it's probably one of the finest philosophical commentaries I've ever heard. It's called He Will Just Do Nothing at All. He will just do nothing at all. He will just sit there in the noonday sun. And when they speak to him, he will not answer them. Because he does not wish to, he will just do nothing at all. And when they tell him to eat his dinner, he will just laugh at them. And he will not take his nap, because he does not wish to. He will just sit there in the noonday sun. He will go away and play with the panda. And when they come to look for him, he will stick them with spears and throw them in the garbage and put the cover on. He will not go out in the fresh air, nor eat his vegetables. He will grow thin as a marble. He will just do nothing at all. He will just sit there in the noonday sun.
We wish he didn't have to go on down the road, but he says he does. But we do thank him kindly for coming by and charming us with his playing and with his singing. Now, our Tom Walkers, one is waiting for the other one to get out of school, so we'll see them. Be patient. To pick and sing for us, and they've been here nearly every festival, from where the beautiful River of May rises in Lake George, are Marcel Ferguson and Winston Miller, to charm you with their picking and singing.
Thank you, Cousin Thelma. Good evening, friends. You know, with this modern-day television, we don't get to practice very much. So we'll give you a little idea here. Take about a second to tell you how we practice in the parlor when they have the TV going. You know, they get a TV commercial on, and if it isn't a real good one, we just have the young boy turn the TV down just a little bit, and we play just a little snatch of music, and then we start listening to the TV again. Then it's time for the TV to go on again. No, laying all jokes aside, we do get a chance to practice once in a while on our folk tunes and western and what have you, and I think it's a wonderful thing. By the way, Cousin Thelma, we enjoyed your visit down our way, and we're looking forward to having you come down again real soon. Now, we're going to play a little bit of, what's that one, Red River Valley, I think
isn't that's what it is.
They say you are going. I will miss your bright eyes and sweet smile. For they say you are taking the sunshine that has brightened my life for a while. Thank you a lot, folks. Winston here is a fine upcoming young lad, and I think he's going places in music. What do you think? Say hello to the folks, Winston.
Hello there, everybody.
You know, I have a friend, or did have a friend, God bless his soul, he's passed on from Georgetown down here. He used to be a singer, Floyd Flanney, and he had an awful toothache one time. He said he had one of the worst toothaches he'd ever had, so he went to the doctor and he had it pulled out. And so he said, well, you've been hurting me so much, I'm going to see how much you can hurt. So he took it to the house, and there was an old sweet gum stump there, Cousin Thelma, and he put the tooth down in a crack in the stump and poured some honey on it. He had about a quarter. That thing spit the stump wide open. I think we better play with that. We've got one more tune. We're going to play a little bit of, what's that going to be? Wildwood Flower. That in the gear of G?
In the gear of G.
All right. Thank you.
They come an awful long way to charm us with their music, and we just couldn't have a Florida Folk Festival without them. Thank you so much. I tell you, they sent me. I had the best time down there, and they fed me some of the finest bass you ever tasted in your life, and sent me home with a great big bundle. And I just finished them day before yesterday. I want to thank you again for those fish. Someone came up and whispered to me that they positively had to hear Cousin Jack whistle once again. So here's Jack. And he doesn't know we're going to do this. Today's his birthday. Let's sing happy birthday to him. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jack. Happy birthday to you. Just as I was getting ready to go take my lunch and take my noon hour, a queen of a storyteller appeared at my side. So we went home, she went home with me, and I got her fixed up a little. Annie Tomlin. Who can tell better the Bur Rabbit and the Bur Fox and the Bur Bear stories than Annie can? So here's Annie Tomlin, born and raised in this Suwannee Valley area, to charm you with what you gonna tell us.
I'm gonna tell them about Bur Rabbit and Bur Fox and the Tar Baby.
Good.
But first I'm gonna tell them a joke.
All right. Well, now, I want to be sure that these mics are down low enough. You going to sit down. All right. Well, you sit down in your chair.
First, I'm going to tell y'all about a man going through a thick forest hunt, and he taking his shotgun with him. And in this thick forest, he met a bear and a big dog that was real dark. And he saw these four big eyes coming towards him. and he had a shotgun. Now, I want you to tell me, which one would you have shoot first? What would you have shot first? Yes, he shot the gun first. He didn't shoot the rabbit, neither the bear, neither the dog. He shot the gun first. And now I'm going to tell you about Burr Rabbit, Burr Fox, and the Tubby. Burr Rabbit and Burr Fox lived in a woods. And Burr Fox wanted Burr Rabbit to help him dig a well. So Burr Fox went over to Burr Rabbit's house and he said, "Burr Rabbit, will you help me dig a well?" And Burr Rabbit said, "No, Burr Fox, I don't have to dig a well. I can get all the water I want off the grass when the dew falls." So Burr Fox said, "Well, I'll dig my well myself." So Burr Fox dug his well. Every morning, Burr Fox, when he got his well dug, well, Burr Rabbit would go down there and get his salt pails full of water and take home. Then muddy Burr Fox well up, so he couldn't get no water. So when Burr Fox goes down there, all the water was muddy and he couldn't get none. And he kept going every morning, and the same thing happened to him. The well was muddy. So about the third morning when Burr Fox went down there and his well was all muddy, he said, well, what will I do? My well water is all muddy. I can't get no water." And so he said, "I know what I'll do. I'll put me a tar baby up here." So Burr Fox put him a tar baby on the well, the shelf of the well, and then when Burr Rabbit came down there that morning, he said, "Good morning." The tar baby didn't say nothing. "Good morning," I said. The tar baby didn't say nothing. He said, "I got a big hand here. I'll slap you." And he slapped the tar baby and it stuck. He said, "Turn me loose. Turn me loose," I said. "I got another big hand here. I'll slap you." And he slapped him with that hand and it stuck. He said, "Turn me loose. Turn me loose," I said. "I got a big head here. I'll butt you." And he butt the tar baby and it stuck. He said, "Turn me loose. Oh, turn me loose. I got a big feet here. I'll kick you." And they kicked him with that feet and it stuck. And he said, "I got another big feet here. I'll kick you." And they kicked him and there Brother Rabbit was stuck. All up to the tar baby and couldn't get her loose. After a while, Burr Fox come down to get some water. He said, "Oh-ho, I know that's who it was, you Brother Sly Rabbit. Now, you shall hang for this." And then Brother Rabbit said, "Oh, please, Brother Fox, don't hang me." He said, "Yes, you shall hang for this." And he said, "Well, Brother Fox, if you go and hang me, would you go let me go right round that pond to pray a little while?" He said, "Yes, you may go round there, but you come back." He said, "I'll come back." Brother Rabbit went round the pond, and he saw a crane sitting up in the tree. And he said, "Brother Crane, come down here a minute." And Brother Crane come down. He said, "Brother Fox gonna hang me. And if you come up and get in that tall bushy tree, and every time they go to pull that rope, you say, 'If you kill Brother Rabbit, it will be judgment. And I'll give you all the frogs you want to eat.'" And so the crane said, "All right, Brother Rabbit, I'll do that." So Brother Rabbit went on back. Brother Fox and his son had the rope ready, and they put the rope round his neck, and then Brother Crane got way up in the top of the tree, and every time when they go to pull that rope, Brother Crane was afraid they couldn't see him. He said,
If you kill Brother Rabbit, it will be judgment. And the fox finished said, shh. And they looked all around. They didn't see nothing. And they started to pull the rope again. He said, if you kill Brother Rabbit, it will be judgment. And then the fox and his son ran home fast as they could and left Brother Rabbit. The crayon came down and had taken the rope off Brother Rabbit. And Brother Rabbit had him a little film. And when he take this little film and went to the pond, and he went round and round the pond. Tick-a-dum, 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 got all the cranes dead. And all the rabbits came out the pond. Thank God I heard the bird. Tick-a-dum, 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 dum, 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 thank God all the cranes dead. Thank God I heard the bird.
I hope that she'll come back and tell another story for us. Now, here's Cousin Esther Beedno. Cousin Tom couldn't come, but that doesn't keep Cousin Esther from singing for us. Cousin Esther, what are you going to sing for us today?
I wanted to sing one of the versions of the Ballad of Mary Hamilton that I haven't heard sung here yet. It's another one of the stories that has to do with Mary Hamilton.
And would you tell a little bit about the song?
I would like to tell something about the song and about my instrument, which is a three-string dulcimer. Last year I couldn't play it because it kept getting out of tune. And this year we took a hammer to it, and I think it's going to stay in tune. I don't know. It's a rather interesting instrument. The two bottom strings just play C and F, F and C like a ground bass. Then the upper ones, you play a melody. You go up and down with your left hand and play a melody. You're supposed to have a little thing called a noter. You can use a twig or pencil or anything, but I'm going to play it with my hand because I done lost my noter, and I like to play it with my hand better anyway. There's one story of Mary Hamilton, who was one of the four little Marys who was sent over to France with Queen Mary of Scots. She wasn't the Queen of Scots then. Queen Mary went over to marry Francis of France, who was a young man, a very young boy. And these four girls, when they were all 7 years old, were sent over there with her. And they stayed with her until she returned to Scotland. And they still were ladies-in-waiting to her after she married Lord Darnley. And Mary Hamilton is supposed to have done something very naughty. In one version, she is quite defiant about it, but in the song I Know, she felt pretty badly. And whatever she had done, some people say that she had had a love affair. Some say that she had been in intrigue with some Russian at the court of one of the Russian czars. And some people say that she merely smiled at Lord Darnley, and poor Queen Mary couldn't stand it. She sings this version of the song I Know on the night before she is to be hung. And you know, they also, in those days, they had a nice little habit of building the gallows right outside the cell window of the person that was going to be hung so they could both hear and see the gallows going up. It must have been jolly. So that's what I'll sing now. I had to sit down because I can't play and stand up.
There were four Marys. Tonight there'll be but three. There was Millicent and Mary Beaton and Mary Carmichael and me. They'll let I
I want Cousin John Green and his little outfit to stand by, please. For a good many years now, the Pomacea Peewees have come and stayed the weekend here on the banks of the Suwannee River to do international folk dancing for us under the direction of Major Joe Carter. And these young people are trained at one of the Tampa Recreation Centers, and we are always so grateful to have them come and represent their fine community. The Pomacea Peewees, doing the Neapolitan Tarantella. Aren't they pretty? And they're doing also the Mexican street dance. I think you can look at them and tell that they are, say, junior high school, wouldn't you say? Maybe some not even junior high school age. Most of them high school, that young, my goodness. I have a little letter here. Maybe the cousin who wrote it is in the audience. I don't know, but I think it's such a fine idea, and I do appreciate it. He said, dear cousin, I'll be there to see and hear the program Friday and Saturday. He says, I want some old-fashioned calling cards, the fancily written kind of long ago. And if there's anybody in the audience who, how many of you remember those fancy cards? Anybody in here who can write some of those cards? Well, let's pass the word around. And let's pass this word around that next year we'd love to have you bring some old cards from home. And we'll display them if you bring them. And if you bring some old-time Valentines, we could display those. But Mr. A. Vernon Cole would like to order some really nice handwritten cards of old grace and elegance. And if you can do them for him, I'll give you his name and address. Now, Cousin Marcello, I guess his oxen got stuck in the mud down the road a piece because he hadn't showed up yet. And I don't know where in the world the water witcher is. That's fine. He's coming. Sure as the world. And he's bringing the Tom Walkers with him. But here's somebody that you know and love. He doesn't usually get here on Friday. But we're mighty grateful to him for coming today. None other than our very own cousin Bob Pavitt from Sarasota.
Thank you, Cousin Bob.
Get 'em.
I don't know how to use these things.